This is the Trio of Awesomeness. This is Sabrina,
Ian,
and Rachel.
And this week we're talking about things that involve the protagonist in The Crucible, which is the book we've been discussing for the past 7 weeks-ish. So, I'm going to talk about who... Now, in this book, there's like several protagonists, but I'm going to talk about who's the main protagonist, which would be John Proctor, or Johnny Pro. Whatever you want to call him. That's not his real name. Now, I think the first, like, most important thing is to discuss why he's the main protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
I also think the people in this conversation should listen to me.
I'm listening.
Anyway, I think first it's that he's a complex and a round character, and I think that's important if somebody's the main protagonist, not to be, like, static or flat. He's a round character, and you can see him change throughout the play, and I think that's important. Basically, we know he's, like, a farmer, and he's, like, 30-ish, and he's married to Elizabeth, and he's a father, and he had an affair with 17-year-old Abigail Williams.
Mm-hmm.
A little rocky. So we know he's not an all-around completely good guy. And I think it's important, like, he knows, like, he sinned and everything. But now he's on the right path, and he wants to be with his wife and everything. And he's, like, he's getting out of it. Yeah, he's trying to make things right. And he's like, no, Abigail, I don't want to be with you anymore. We're done. This is over. I have my wife. It's Elizabeth.
Start fresh.
Right. He's trying to start over, be a good Christian, do the right thing, not sleep with little girls.
Middle names, yeah.
Right. Don't be but then all this crap is like, woo! Look at me. We're going to arrest your wife. We're going to say she's a witch. And then we're going to say you're a witch. And it just gets rocky. It's bad. And stuff. And I think that's important because he's like, not only is he's the protagonist because then he has to fight against Abigail Williams to get what's right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then he has to fight against the church. He has to fight the church pretty much and the court because the court and the church, although they're not the same thing, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you notice that in the book. Like,
yeah, it's like
the whole...
There's no separation.
Yeah, because in the court, you know, it's like, well, we notice that you haven't attended church every single week. You must be guilty. It's like...
Yeah, that, it's like the
that doesn't
court
mean anything.
Is an instrument of the church. Yeah.
Right, they're the same thing. Which I think is important, because, like, that happened, like, a long time ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they did the whole, like... I don't know.
Was it...
Judgment of Ordeal, or whatever it was called.
Did that take place back when, like, we were still part of, like, an English colony? Or
yeah.
American then?
I'm pretty sure that was still when we were part of, we were just an English colony.
Yeah, because I mean...
Yeah, because I know.
Here it was 1600s.
Yeah, this was back before there was America.
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson and all them founding fathers were just twinkles in their...
No, it's... I'm singing, okay. No, it's just... Yeah, it was back when we were, like, all Puritans, you know, and then it was, like, religion! It's all religion and farming, that's all they did.
Yeah, pretty much.
But back to why John Proctor is the main... protagonist, because he's the main guy. Like, he's not only the hero of the story, you know, because he's fighting for what's right,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's fighting against the girl saying they're obviously lying, they're just making this up to get themselves out of trouble.
There's no
know?
Such thing as, like, witches.
There's no, yeah, there's no witchcraft, there's no this, but he's also, like, very human, because we see that he made mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's important, like, to not just be like, I am the hero, like, oh, there's no... Because, like, even when you read, like, stories about, like, superheroes and stuff,
mm-hmm.
they still have the... You still see their, like, weakness or
yeah.
what they've done wrong. Like, and having that shred of humanity, like, we see it, I think it makes him a stronger protagonist
mm-hmm.
in the story. And I think that's cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, if he's perfect, then he's not really relatable. Because no one's perfect.
Right. And
mm-hmm.
it's so much easier to see the protagonist when you can relate to them.
Yeah.
And then I think it's just important that he takes on this whole duty of, you know, there he tries to free his wife, and then we see that he's not only fighting to get her out of the whole thing, but then he starts fighting for, like, Giles Corey's wife, you know, and, like...
And all the other, like...
Trying to get all these other people, like, Rebecca Nurse, she's not, you know, and
yeah.
he's trying to get everybody out, not just them, you know, he's... It started out as, I just have to get my wife back, to, I'm gonna fight completely against this because I know it's wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes him... One heck of a cool kid.
Indeed we so.
But let's hand this over to Rachel.
Okay. Well, I am talking about the relationship between John Proctor and Abigail Williams and how that, like, affects him as their protagonist in the play. And pretty much in Act 1, we see John and Abigail, that they have a relationship, and then in Act 2, we kind of see that, like, Elizabeth is, like, really aware of that fact.
Yeah.
And I think that that relationship kind of, like, affects them.
Who? Affects Elizabeth and John?
It affects, like, John because it's, like, it's kind of, like, it's something he did in the past that was really wrong, but it, like, it's almost as if, like, he, like, it won't let him, I don't know how to word it, but, like, it won't let him go, like, he can't, like, move on from
it. He can't get out of the shadow of what he had done.
It just
kind of
haunts him, yeah.
Yeah.
He's, yeah, being haunted by it.
And, like, there's, like, parts where, like, Elizabeth will, like, I know what you did, and, like, he keeps telling her stuff, like, that, okay. I lost train of thought. Like, he'll tell her that he doesn't want her to judge him and that he just wants to move on. And she'll be like, I know what you did. And he's like, you forgive nothing and you forget nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, like, I think that Elizabeth might suspect that, like, John still has feelings for Abigail, even though he doesn't. And I think that that's why it's hard for her to let that go.
Well, Abigail's, like, trying to make it seem like there's still something because she still wants there to be something, you know?
Yeah.
She's trying to get rid of Elizabeth, trying as hard as she can to make sure she is with John. She's obsessed.
Crazy.
And, something else is that, like, he, like, says that, like, he doesn't want to be judged because of the fact that it, like... I think it because, like, he doesn't want to affect his name, because I feel like name has, like, a big deal with...
I think it's a really big deal to him.
Because,
yeah.
Like, at the very end of, like, scene 4 with Judge Danforth, Reverend Hale, and Reverend Paris, they want Proctor to sign that paper, but he signs it, but he crumbles it up or tears it or whatever because...
Yeah, he, like, tears it up. He's like, you know what? He's like, I signed this. Isn't that good enough? And then he realizes, you know, like, hey... Maybe I'm gonna die now. He's like, but I still have my goodness, and you know, he doesn't care about because he didn't want people to see his name posted on the church.
And I feel like that's like part of his pride that he doesn't want to get rid of, you know, because it's like he's lost so much of it that that's like the only shred of pride he has left.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like he's been taken down to nothing. You know, he's been thrown in the jail and everything, and all he has left is his name, clean, saying that he is not a witch because he won't admit to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, by him signing that and having them posted on the church, he's admitting to everything that they said he's done. Yeah,
exactly.
He gets to live, but then he has to live with that. So, he's choosing, you know, well, fine. I'll just die, and we'll be fine, and, you know, I'll still have that.
And I feel like he lost, he started losing, like, a lot of, like, his pride and, like, in himself, like, right when he went to the court, and, like, how that started with Abigail Williams and everything, because of the fact that she was, like, saying that Proctor was a witch or whatever, and like
you mean when they're doing that whole fighting thing with all the girls,
yeah,
and
with
Mary's
Mary
like
and
say, okay, yeah, okay, I just want to make sure I knew where you were talking about.
Yeah, and I think that it's because of Abigail that he loses his wife and like a lot of his pride and his freedom, and then like in the end even his life, you know.
Yeah, and then I mean Abigail, she just does all that stuff and then she leaves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She just runs off, and then I mean at the very end, if you read that little section after, they say they found her as, like, a prostitute in Boston, like, 4 years
yeah.
late or something. I'm like, wow. Champ. So you're the best, Abigail Williams.
Yeah. So I think it's because of Abigail that, you know, his relationship with her, that so much of this downfall for him has occurred.
Right. I completely agree.
So, Ian, your turn.
All right.
Get to some work, Ian.
I will. So, I'll be talking about the inciting incident, the story that kind of sets John Proctor out on his fight against the witch hunts, and that would occur in Act 2. And pretty much, you know, as we've already discussed, the main thing that makes that happen is the fact that, you know, they came, took his wife away.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I think it's interesting, though, because before that, you know, he seems, like, real angry at her, almost, because she...
Angry at Elizabeth?
Yeah, kind of. Because,
I was just
yeah.
making sure I knew who you were talking
because
about.
Because she, you know, refuses to let the whole, you know, Abigail thing go. But once they take her, then he's like, I feel like it's one of those you don't really realize what you have till it's gone kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And he just,
yeah.
he's like, yeah, this is a big deal. And I also think that he's kind of has a disposition to be the protagonist that is shown there because, you know, even in the first act. You know, you can see he has issues with the Putnams, how you say it?
I think it's Putnam.
Putnam. He has issues with Putnams, and he has, I mean, you can tell he has issues with Abigail. And
yeah, obviously.
Yeah. And then in Act 2, when they come and tell him, like, who's doing all the accusations, it's like, wow, it's the Putnams and Abigail who are accusing everybody. And he's like, well, of course, they're going to come after my wife because none of them like me. So I think that it kind of lets him see through the whole, oh, it's religion, oh, it's a matter of keeping the devil out of the community. He's like, no, you guys all have ulterior motives, and you're trying to, you know, exploit them in order to, you know, do what you want to do. You're just using the whole religion thing as a disguise. So I think that that's the main reason that he can kind of see past the whole religion aspect. Because, I mean, of course, in that society, as you said, it was all about, I mean, they prayed and they planted. I mean, that was everything.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of it had to deal with land, too, so.
Yeah.
They just wanted everybody's land. And, like, when you're reading, there's that part where they say there's cows roaming all over the place, and there's all these fights about who's going to get whose cows, because everybody's in jail. Like, all they're doing is fighting over livestock and crops and land.
That's just what they want is land, which is probably why they talk about witch.
Yeah, but then they talk about, like, how the animals are roaming all over the place, how you can smell rotting crops from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like...
So nobody can take care of it.
They've just completely destroyed their society by this.
Self-destructive. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that the main reason that the inciting incident takes place then is because... You know, he can see past the facades and everything and realize, yeah, this isn't what should be happening. This obviously isn't right.
But he's the one who can, like, see past everything. He's like, the girls are lying.
Mm-hmm.
They are not telling you the truth. They're just calling everybody a witch so they don't get in trouble for dancing around in the woods naked.
Yeah.
For some reason, this play reminds me of Monty Python, where they're like, it's a witch! It's a witch! It's a witch! Does she weigh more than a duck? She's a witch!
I've never seen that.
It's really funny. And
not the whole thing. I've seen bits and pieces.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty good. It's good stuff.
But... Well, anybody have any further comments on The Crucible by Arthur Miller involving the protagonist?
A.K.A. Johnny Pro / John Proctor.
No.
Nope. All right, so let's wrap up the lesson.
Indeed. This has been the Trio of Awesomeness. This is Ian.
Sabrina.
And Rachel.
Thank you for listening, and we'll be back to you with our next podcast.